Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 and to read down to verse 7. And the Bible says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." We'll pray in a moment. As I preach, though, let's pray as I give this commencement slash evening message, not only here to Brother Mike Wheeler, but to all of us, about a very, very critical subject that we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and for this evening. It's been a joy to see the accomplishments of Brother Mike Wheeler and be able to take a moment and to honor those, Lord, honor him for his hard work. Bless him, I pray. Continue to use him for your glory. And Father, as we look at this passage and the truth that's contained therein, and I pray that you'd allow it to grip our hearts. Father, please fill me with your Spirit. Use me to glorify yourself. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago, a man by the name of B.B. McKinney, who was a great Baptist songwriter and a song leader, was leading an audience and singing the great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." He had them all stand and turn to it. They began to sing the first verse. After singing the first verse, McKinney told the audience to stop singing. He waved his arm, "Stop." Imagine that. The place got very quiet. And he very quietly and kindly, but positively, said these words to the congregation. He said, "We cannot sing this song in any way but seriously. Some of you are laughing as we sing. Others are talking." And he said this, "Few are giving consideration to these meaningful words." And then he went on to just read the words of the song to the audience. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour content on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." It's true, isn't it? McKinney said those words. Listen again to what he said. "Few are giving consideration to those meaningful words." They were reading the words. They were even singing the words. But they weren't truly considering what they were reading. Look at verse 7 of our text, if you would please. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Tonight I want to preach on the subject as I give Brother Mike somewhat of a charge, and our church a charge. Consider what I say. Our text tonight, the Apostle Paul is penning something to Timothy, a young man, a young preacher in the faith, a young man that he met, brought him on his missionary journey, on his second missionary journey, brought him by his side, taught him, invested his life in him. Now the Apostle Paul, we know it's 2 Timothy, is about to depart from this world. We read in chapter 4 that the time of his departure was at hand. In a short time, Paul was going to meet his maker. He was there in a prison cell all alone. Imagine that. Knowing in a few moments, he's going to come face to face with his Savior. He only had so much time to say the things that he needed to say. Only had so much time to write the letters that he wanted to write. And he felt it necessary to say something so very important to this young preacher. This next generation that was coming up. And he's instructing Timothy here on something very important. He's instructing him on his purpose in life. Why he's here. Can I ask you something tonight? Why are you here? Why are we here on this earth? You may say, preacher, I don't want to think about that. We ought to think about it. We ought to stop and think about it. Why are we here? Why do I exist? Why do you exist? You know, very few people give consideration to why they're here. I mean, just go through the motions of life one day after the next, one week after the next, one event after the next event, almost in a robotic stupor. I remember before I knew the Lord, that's where I was. That was kind of the mechanics of my life. And that's where I was at, almost kind of like a hamster on a wheel, you know, just going round and round and round and round and round and not getting anywhere. Many people go through life that way. Kind of reminds me of the funny story that you've probably heard that goes like this. A man said, I go to work to dig the ditch, to make the money, to buy the food, to get the energy, to go to work. And he goes on and on to dig the ditch, to make the money, to buy the food, to get the energy, to go to work, to dig the ditch, to make the money, to buy the food, to get the energy, to go to work. And that's his life. Is that your life? You know, it's about the way many people go through life, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're instructed in the Bible to give great consideration to our lives. Think about it. Stop for a moment. Ask yourself, why am I here? What is the big picture in this whole thing? Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. We're commanded, so teach us to number our days. Why is that? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Why are we to number our days? So we don't spend our days like a fool, knowing that our days are short, knowing that this life is quicker than we expect. I mean, think of where you are today and how fast it went. We don't know when we're going to die. Could be tomorrow. Could be the end. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's what the Bible says. Psalm chapter 39 and verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. You see, as Christians, we have to consider, why are we here? Consider what I say. That's what Paul says. Now here in our text, let me just give you a couple things because Paul is making it crystal clear. So there's no doubt in our minds. So we don't have to wonder why we're here. God gives us His Word. That's what He's given us. So we don't have to sit here and figure it out ourselves. God tells us why we're here. Well, why? Let's find out. What is, first of all, number one, the command? It's a simple command here in verses 1 and 2. Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice the command. It's very important. This is not a suggestion. This is not just directed to Timothy alone. The application goes far beyond preachers. It goes to the person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a command to all of us. Paul tells Timothy to take the things which he has learned and commit those things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Three generations. That doesn't mean it stops in three generations. This thing perpetuates, and then that next one does the same thing, and on it goes. You see, Paul spent so much of his time investing in the life of Timothy, teaching him the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, doctrine upon doctrine, living by example, Notice over in chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 in verse 10. Notice what Paul says to Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. Notice what he says here. Timothy, I've invested in you everything I know. You've been taught all the doctrine of the Bible. You have watched my life. You've seen my purpose. You see why we are here. And understand, for the Christian, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. It's about taking what we know. It's been taking this great heritage of Bible doctrine that has been handed down from generation to generation and now to us, and passing it on to the next generation. Is that your burden tonight? I hope it is. Because that's what we're here for. And then that generation, what are they to do? They're to pass it on to the next generation, and so on and so on. This is God's means of propagating the truth. It's God's means of perpetuating the truth. And this is what we've all been commanded to do. So all of us that are saved, understand something. We have had, and we still should have, Pauls in our life. You have one? You should. I do. I have some men in my life that I listen to. I have men in my life that are still teaching me things. We should all have Pauls in our lives. People that have taught us the Bible. People that have invested in us, or either have or they are teaching us the Bible. They taught us how to be saved, first of all. Amen? And then they went on to teach us right doctrine and what the Bible teaches. And by the way, that could be many people in your lives. We're not talking about just one. I have many Pauls, and I trust you have as well. But we are commanded to take those things that the Pauls have given to us and pass them on to our Timothys. Pass them on to others. Tonight we handed Brother Mike a piece of paper. It's a lot more than a piece of paper, though. It's huge. It's what that paper represents that's important. It really represents everything that's been committed to his life. Think about that for a moment. All of the hours that he's been up in that classroom, all of the hours he's been at his computer working hard, all of the hours into the wee hours of the morning, he's been typing reports and doing all those things. And by the way, Brother Mike, you need to continue to learn and grow. Every one of us need to continue on. But also, remember this command. Don't ever forget it. Take those things that you've been learned and been taught and pass them on to other people. Because to whom much is given, much shall be required. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Oh, as I think of the men that have invested in me and how much I've been given. And I wonder sometimes why, Lord. But I know why now. To give it to somebody else. I'm not to be a Dead Sea believer, amen, where everything flows in and nothing flows out and nothing lives within that Dead Sea. I'm to give it out, and so are you. You know, one of the reasons we're in the condition we're in today in America is because as a whole, we have failed to obey this command. We're not passing this on to the next generation. We're not investing, we're not teaching line upon line and precept upon precept. And Brother Mike, I want to encourage you and every believer here tonight, go find yourself some Timothys. Somebody out there. They may not be who you think. It may be somebody you work with. It may be some relative. It may be a neighbor. Who knows? Somebody you can train. Somebody you can impact. Somebody that you can make a difference in their lives. By the way, this is not just for men. It's not just for adults. Every one of us that know anything about this book need to be passing it on to the next generation, whether it be in Sunday school, whether it be in personal discipleship, however you can, this command must be obeyed. And we're suffering because it's not. We are. Don't blame the condition of America on the liberals. Blame it on the people of God. because we're not doing what we ought to do. The local New Testament church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing in this world. And we have hurt the world more than the world has hurt us. Why is that? Because of that command. We haven't done it. But there's a second thing I want you to notice. Not only the command, Paul gives Timothy a caution. Notice what he says here in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? After he tells him to the things that I've committed unto you, take them and commit the same things, by the way, you ought to circle those two words, the same. Commit that of faithful men. Then he goes on to say something very interesting. He gives him a caution. A caution. He cautions him about two different things. The first thing I see is that there's going to be difficulties. Notice he says in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you know this idea of taking what we've been given and passing on to the next generation is not an easy task. Just try it. It's difficult. And the words and the phrases that the Apostle Paul uses as he cautions Timothy about this are words of warfare. He says, endure hardness. He says, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He talks about warring. Those are military terms. I think we're in a battle, aren't we? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. If we are going to stand up as a church, as an individual, if we're going to pass on the things that have been given to us, understand something. We are going to come face to face with some great difficulties. Perhaps that's why many have abandoned the task. Well, preacher, it's too hard. Too much resistance. Well, that's what God said is going to happen. You see, as we strive to obey this command that we've been given, understand something. We are going to encounter resistance. We are going to encounter confrontation. We're going to encounter discouragement at times and weariness. Sometimes you're going to get a Timothy, and that Timothy's going to fizzle out. Sometimes you're going to see some of you think it's a Timothy, and they're not a Timothy at all. And you go through one, you go through another, trying to find somebody who you can invest in, and you find out that many are giving up, many are fizzling out, many are jumping ship. And there's many times that you're going to feel like, and I'm going to feel like, giving up. Don't do it. There's too much at risk. We're talking about the souls of men. We're talking about the nation we live in. We're talking about the future here. It's in our hands. It's dependent upon how we obey this command, whether we do it or not. But understand, we are going to face difficulties. There's another thing we want to face. Notice, if you will, the next verse, in verse 4. We read, no man that warreth, and notice, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. We're not only going to face difficulties. Watch this. We're going to face distractions. God help us. I think that's the greatest enemy of the Christian life today. Distractions. There's so much stuff today to distract us, to pull us away. Again, Paul warns Timothy, be careful now. Do not get entangled with the affairs of this life. There's a greater purpose. There's a higher cause here. There's a greater calling upon your life. And understand that the purposes of this world are diametrically opposed to the purposes of God. The world lives for money. The world lives for recognition. The world lives for getting things and material and materialism and fame and fortune. Be careful, because there's a lure out there to try to distract you and distract me from the great cause that we're involved in here. That is to propagate the truth. You know, you can even be entangled with so-called good things. Things that others applaud. Things that people say, well, that's a good deed. That's a wonderful thing, a good cause. But they're not a part of God's plan in this world. And you can be distracted away, thinking, I'm a good guy. When all along, you may be involved with a good cause, but it's not the best cause. The best cause is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of our graduate, Brother Mike, tonight. I applaud him. I do. I really do. Brother Mike's a man of many talents. If you don't know that, just talk to him, meet him, hang around a little bit. God has gifted him. You know, people, they talk about one talent, five talent, ten talent Christian. He is a multi-talented Christian. God has blessed him in many ways. But think about this, that there are many noble causes in this world that would like to have a Brother Mike Wheeler on their side. Do you understand that? They say, come and help us. Boy, here's a fine man. Look at him. Look at his career. Look at what he's done. Look at his family. And they say, come over here. Endorse this cause. Be a part of this. We'll put your name in the paper. We'll put your name over here. We'll give you a title. We'll do this. And it's very easy to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Be careful. Be careful, Brother Mike. Because if it's not God's cause, it is going to distract you from what God wants you to do. Oh, I think over and over. I don't know why I've been thinking of this storyline. I've mentioned his name so many times. William Borden. Borden and the Borden family and all that. With all the things. He could have inherited the family business. He could have been rich. He could have been the leader in that company. And he said, that's not God's purpose in my life. And off he went to the mission field. You see, the caution tonight for all of us is, do not let difficulties or distractions deter you or deter me from what God wants us to do in this world. And then thirdly, number three, not only the command and the caution, notice thirdly, the crowning. Notice verse 5. And if any man also strive for masteries, notice this, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You ever think about this? There's coming a crowning day. You say, what are you talking about? Don't go there tonight, but sometime read Revelation chapter 5. There's going to come a time where you and I are going to meet the Lord. And we, as believers, won't be judged for our sin, but we'll be there at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ. And he is going to reward us for how we've done in this world. He's going to reward us, or there'll be loss of reward, for what we've done with our lives since we've been saved. There's coming a crowning day. You know, many Christians don't like to think about this. Why is that? Because they're on that hamster wheel. And they go day in and day out, not even thinking about this. Folks, there is a day we're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to meet him face to face. Imagine a day when he's going to bring into judgment what we've done, how we've done it, and why we've done it. And again, either rewarded or loss of reward. That's why Paul said to Timothy in verse 7, consider what I say. Think about this. You need to think about this. Timothy, you're a young man. Timothy, you have much of your life. If the Lord tarries and if he allows you to live, you have much of your life left. And I think of Brother Mike. If the Lord tarries, he's got them two good hips now. Amen. Lord may bless you with a lot of years. And we pray that he does. But the question is, how will you spend it? How will you spend it? God says, consider what I say. Think about it. Don't sing the songs and let the words go over your head. Don't listen to the preaching and let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't read passages where God very clearly commands us what to do. He cautions us about the difficulties and the diversions that are there, or the distractions. But serve the Lord. Take what we've learned, take what we know, and pass it on to the next generation. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. You know, when we consider our lives biblically, the way that God wants us to consider it, we'll realize that for everyone, and I think I heard Brother Sam say this a few times, he said, and this is the truth, all of our life is lived for one moment. All of it. All of your life and my life is lived for one moment. The moment we meet Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, when I think about that, I want to consider my life. I want to consider, what am I doing? I'm going to consider how I'm spending my days and what I'm investing in. Consider what I say. Brother Mike, again, God bless you. Congratulations. All of us, let's take what we know and not stuff it in our pockets. Let's understand the command, the things that thou hast heard, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let's pray together.